All right, the WGN Radio Theater is on the air. I'm not sure why we don't have music or anything, but you know what? We are on the air. It is 10 minutes after 11, and let's say hi to Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske. What's up, guys? How are you? We have our sponsor in from Cats.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
And, I don't know if we're having technical difficulties, Mike.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, we might be. But guess what? We're going to give away a year's supply of Cats Pride kitty litter to two of our lucky winners.
Two times. Not one.
So it's double the fun.
Double the fun in Cats Pride Nation.
We're going to give away 2 years supply of Cats Pride. So you have two chances to win. But first, let's talk with Dan and Dave. And let's talk about Cats Pride. And they're our main sponsor here on WGN Radio Theater since day one. And tell us about the Litter for Good program, Dan.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk Litter for Good. And a great segue is I was just at dinner with my friend Laura, and I really regaled her with all things Litter for Good. So I'm ready for the show.
Well, it's worth talking about.
Yep, so thank you, Laura, for listening. And now everyone gets to hear about Litter for Good, a program that we're extremely excited about. We just finished our first full year, calendar 2018. We donated 5 million pounds to over 1,000 shelters. But guess what? It all starts over and started over on 1-1, meaning every shelter and every nominator has to redo their thing. So I really would encourage all listeners to not only tell your friends to go out and buy the green jug, and you buy the green jug, and we'll talk about that, but also to get back to your local shelter that you nominated during the year and say, guys, you got to put out that email blast. We got to get everybody involved so that we can get those nominations up and get that litter going.
Now, how many million did you send out last year?
Five million. Yeah, 5 million is a big number.
Now,
think about that.
Let's talk about why this is so important. Because if you are sending 5 million pounds of kitty litter to these shelters, they save money, which
ultimately saves cats' lives.
That's
and
right.
Contributes to their whole effort, for their particular shelter. And the reason why they're, really out there to save cats and dogs. So it's really exciting for what this program has done.
Now, here's what our listeners can do, right? They can buy the green jug. They can buy Cats Pride cat litter in the green jug and then go online and nominate the shelter nearest them, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the easiest way. Look, if they want to, they can go out and buy cat litter and bring it to their local shelter and donate themselves. But that's a hard thing to do. And we've been donating litter to the Anti-Cruelty Society and to many shelters across the United States for years. And what gave us the idea was we said, let's see if everybody's as passionate about saving cats' lives as Cats Pride is. And the gruesome statistic is every year 3 million cats enter shelters in the United States, and only 1.5 million get adopted out. So you can do the math. It's not a happy coin flip there for the cats. And because half of them end up not finding a happy home. And so, yes, as you said, when we donate the litter, it frees up dollars to go ahead and do all sorts of things to get those statistics moving in the right direction.
That's right. So do your part. Switch over, not only because it's great for cats all across the country, but you know what, Dan is a lover of classic radio. He's been our main sponsor from day one. If you love this show and you love classic radio, support our number one sponsor, and that's Cats Pride. They're in the green jug. They're sold everywhere, right, Dave?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the greatest things we got coming around the corner here, and it's coming up in March, is Monopoly.
Oh, yeah.
And for the Safeway Albertson folks that go to those respective stores, Jewel's inclusive in that and other distribution points, we basically are going to be out there on display, which is going to be a deal. We're going to have an IRC on that particular product, and that is going to be an instant redeemable coupon for those that don't know IRC. So you're going to get a savings. You're going to be able to save money and then also do this cause for Litter for Good. And again, donating 1 pound per jug, which is exciting.
Unbelievable. 5 million last year. Let's try to double that this year.
Hey, and before we pick our lucky winners, I do want to say I'm a member of your classic radio show
Thank you.
Listened to the Judas Clock, the Inner Sanctum.
Oh, Inner Sanctum.
With the creaking door. Squeaking door, I guess. It isn't
Raymond,
both. Your
host. They say it both ways. Yes.
Yeah.
And you're enjoying it? You're Bluetoothing it to the car?
I love it. Yeah.
So quality's good?
Quality is fantastic.
Good.
Mike, great job
Thank
with
you.
That.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, it was
Appreciate
fantastic.
That. All right, so let's pick two lucky winners right now here. Our listeners get two of our lucky listeners are going to win a year's supply of Cats Pride cat litter. Here we go. And who's first? Dave's going to pick first.
Okay,
drum roll,
go.
Please.
Got one.
All right, who is
see
it?
Who it is. It's Fran Harper. Her cat is Lucky. And she's lucky because she's from Chicago,
yeah.
Illinois.
Very nice.
Again, Fran Harper, her cat is Lucky, Chicago, Illinois.
She will be getting coupons for an entire year.
Awesome. Congratulations.
And Dan, here we go.
And the winner is. It's like Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Only we're going to read the correct one. Dorothy Leonardi Cisco, her cat Sassy, from Sacramento, California.
Wow.
So we have covered the coast.
Wow.
We have.
Yeah. That's
absolutely
awesome.
Wow. Great job.
Bandwidth.
Great job, folks. And so, you know what? If you want to enter for next month, because Dan and Dave come here every month, give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. They did two this month because we missed 1 month prior. Just send a picture of your kitty cat. Send it in to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com with all the pertinent information, your name, your cat's name.
That's city and state.
City and state. catspridephoto@gmail.com. Well, thank you both so much. We really appreciate it. We're going to get into our classic radio shows in just a minute here. We'll start things off with the Cisco Kid, and then it's the Let George Do It, Good Detective Adventure. Dan and Dave, thank you so much.
Thank
we
you.
Really appreciate you guys. And thanks for being so generous with the show and with our listeners.
And Carol, Mike, and the vivacious Lisa Wolf.
Yes.
Yeah, vivacious. Where is she?
We miss her.
She's in Florida.
Her vivacious.
She is in Florida. She'll be back here next week. All right, here's a few commercial spots, then we'll be right back. Hey, you know what, Mike Costella?
What's going on?
Lisa Wolf is in Florida.
Yeah, I know.
She's in Florida. She's enjoying herself out there. And you know what? We're here in the cold.
Yep.
1 degree.
Yep.
And we're going to play the Cisco Kid to start things off.
There we
Sound
go.
Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cisco Kid was not only on television, it was a radio series. It was created by O. Henry. The Cisco Kid was seen in films, TV, comic books, and in 1942, first heard on radio. Jackson Beck was radio's first Cisco with Louis Sorin as Pancho. Then later, Jack Mather and Harry Lang were Cisco Kid and Pancho. And he was a Mexican caballero who fought for law and order in the Old West. It was immensely popular on radio and lasted until 1957. Nearly 600 radio episodes were produced. And then a 1950 through 1956 TV series starred Duncan Ronaldo and Leo Carrillo. Do you remember watching the Cisco Kid? I remember
Not
as a kid watching the Cisco Kid on WGN TV, and they had color episodes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but prior to that, radio. And we have a 1957 radio broadcast for you now called The Lancers of the Black Horse Brigade. It stars Jack Mather and Harry Lang from January 17th, 1957. Part one now of The Cisco Kid.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho Domino.
The Cisco Kid. And now the Cisco Kid in our exciting story, The Lancers of the Black Horse Brigade. History records that during the Mexican War of the 1840s, 80 Texas Rangers fought and defeated the Mexican commander Harueta and 600 of his crack lancers. In the 1870s, an even more remarkable incident occurred, involving a brigade of lancers and the man who single-handedly defeated them, the Cisco Kid. As our story opens, a resplendent figure in a gaudily bedecked uniform rides a prancing charger in front of a stationary line of mounted lancers at stiff attention.
Straighten up, trooper! You, and man in the second rank! Straighten that lance! That's better! Whoa there! Colonel Martinez, front and center!
Whoa! Now, whoa!
Colonel Martinez reporting, sir.
At ease, Martinez. I congratulate you on the excellent appearance of the brigade.
Gracias, General Pierce. The men and officers are ready for the invasion.
The sight of the streaming pennants and those lances fills me with pride, Martinez. They reassure me that soon we will carve an empire from the territory of Arizona.
It shall be as you say, mi comandante. The steel tips of their lances will silence all who oppose you.
The blood of those who oppose me will turn the white sands of the Arizona desert to red. Now, I want to see that squad in action. Have each trooper charge at the straw-filled figure we use for a target.
Immediately, General Pierce.
Corporal Romero squad. Column of fours, column half left. Trot. Yo! Line! Yo! Halt! The general wants each trooper of this squad to make the lance charge at the straw dummy. First, Trooper Jennings. Your lance was not straight during the inspection. How straight is your aim? Fix lance. Or charge!
He handles the lance well, Colonel. Perfect! Hit the target dead center.
What is our first objective, Comandante?
The Spanish mission north of Nogales.
The mission at Tubac?
Right. The Arizona gold of the altar ornaments and the statues there will pay our lancers from Sonora.
It is fitting that Arizona should be won by the gold from its mines. But as you know, General Pierce, the padre at the mission, Padre Esteban, will not give up the articles of the church without a protest and possibly a fight.
Corporal Romero, fix lance! Forward! Charge! For all my enemies, those who are against me, the cold steel of a lance, including Padre Esteban.
This cannon and limber and the caisson are all I can spare from the fort at this time, Cisco. A section of artillery and a detail of 10 men will accompany.
I understand, General Forsyth. I know most of your command is out after the Apaches.
Cisco, why the soldados put saddles on all 6 horses when only 3 soldados ride only 3 of the horses?
Each of the cavalrymen rides 1 horse and guides the other.
Huh?
The saddles of the horses on the offside have no stirrup leathers or stirrups.
And take notice, Pancho, none of the teams of the 6-horse hitcher are the same size or weight. The lead team is the lightest, the swing team a little heavier, and the wheel team is the largest.
Oh, they make it very dangerous for the hombre with the lead team if the others not could be held back.
That is why the other teams also have riders, Pancho.
Pancho thinks they're able to make this cannon the case and travel fast, too.
Not fast enough for the job we've got to do, Pancho.
I realize that, General Forsyth. It will take your detail of hombres 3 days to reach the mission at Tumacacari.
Who the coyotes while leading the renegades against Padre Esteban at the mission, Senor General?
Their leader is a traitor who's adopted the title of General. During the war, he was Captain Nelson Pierce of the 6th Pennsylvania Cavalry.
I do not know him, but I know his segundo very well. Cesar Martinez is his name. He also is a traitor to Mexico. Martinez fought with Juarita and his lancers during the American War, and they were beaten by the Texas Rangers.
Ah, I begin to understand why those 2 treacherous swine got together.
What do you mean, General Forsyth?
Well, Nelson Pierce was with the only regiment of American lancers in the Civil War.
I think it is time for Pancho and me to saddle up.
Those maverick soldados of Pierce and Martinez, they carry nothing but the lance?
Our intelligence reports, Pancho, they are equipped with sidearms and sabers, too.
It sounds as if they are a well-organized and well-outfitted army.
They are, Cisco. They constitute a far greater menace to the peaceful relations of the United States and Mexico than I care to admit.
You're the hablo loco now. What do you mean, General Forsyth?
Though Pierce has given his army surface respectability by outfitting them with handsome uniforms and matched black horses, it's a known fact that the scum and dregs of humanity from both sides of the border are riding behind the treasonous flag of the Black Horse Brigade.
General Forsyth, do you really think your detail with the cannon can reach the mission at Tucacompore before the Black Brigade?
I don't know, Cisco. I'm hoping they can. There are only a handful of men at the mission.
Without the cannon and your troopers, they will be massacred.
How soon before that Black Horse Brigade get to the mission, Senor General?
One of my Navajo scouts reported that Pierce and his men are 50 miles from the border between Hermosillo and Nogales.
That means it will take them about 3 days to reach Tumacacori.
That's just how long it takes for your soldados and the cannon to get from Fort Crittenden here to the mission, Senor General.
Yes, it's going to be a race against time, with the lives of Padre Esteban and everyone at the mission at stake.
Then Pancho and I are not going to wait for the detail with the cannon. If we travel alone over the Santa Rita Mountains, we can reach the mission in 2 days.
But the trail is treacherous, Cisco. The Apaches are holed up in those mountains as thick as flies. I was hoping you'd go with my men in the field piece.
There is the chance those lancers will reach their destination before the cannon. If they do, I want to be there to help defend the mission. Padre Esteban is mi amigo. He will need help. Mount up, Pancho.
Very good, amigo.
Pancho and I would like to leave at once. Are there any other orders, General Forsythe?
Yes. Come back alive.
Open! Open the gates of the mission. Waste no time. I bring news of great importance. Oh, Kira. Andale. Do not stand there and gape at me. Open the gate.
What goes on here? Why, it is Elena Montalvo. Open the gates quickly, my children.
Oh, gracious, Padre Esteban. Go, Kira.
What brings you with such haste, Elena? You have ridden your great stallion, Aquila, until he is ready to draw.
Oh, Aquila. I would never have done it had it not been necessary, Padre Esteban. Will you have someone to take care of Aquila?
Very well. Pedro Gomez. Your willing hands and generous heart will make the stallion comfortable.
Oh, gracias.
Take him, if you please.
Si, mi padre. Con caballo. Come with Pedro.
Oh, you are tired, Elena. You need rest. Oh,
si, padre. I rode all the way from my rancho because of the news.
I know, Elena. I already know. Pierce and his Black Horse Brigade are on their way to take the mission. We cannot hold them off, but Providence will deliver us.
What is even worse, Padre Esteban, is... Oh,
those horses. They must bring other refugees from the lancers of the devil. Open the gates quickly!
It is the hand of Providence.
Open!
I'm glad to see you here, Padre Esteban. Hola.
I'm so glad to get here. We chased by the Apaches and everything.
Never mind about that, Pancho. We arrived before Pierce and his lancers. We came from Fort Crittenden, Padre Esteban. Artillery is on the way.
I was about to tell the Padre about the cannon when you and Pancho rode up, Cisco.
What about the cannon, Senorita Lina?
Pierce Martinez and the lancers came past my rancho last night. I saw with my own eyes. They now have a cannon and caisson.
Madre mia, that is bad.
Those coyotes use it against the mission for sure.
What you do not seem to realize is that they captured the artillery from the soldados sent by General Forsythe.
Santos, how do you know?
I heard some of the lancers talk. They murdered all the soldados. They intend to level the mission to ashes.
Wait, my people. Do not despair yet.
You are right, Padre Esteban. You people are not dead until you stop fighting. We have just begun.
But what so few hombres can do against the cannon, Cisco?
Pancho, you and I are going after that cannon. If those weasels could capture from the soldados of General Forsythe, we can recapture it.
But how, Cisco? Such an impossible thing, it cannot be done.
Undoubtedly, that is what was said to Padre Kino when his mission was first established. It is still standing. Steady, Diablo, steady. Keep faith, amigos.
That's what Pancho is going to do.
Cisco, I'll know better than try to stop you. Be careful. Do not carry your life on your fingernails.
Do not worry, Elena. I will come back. Open the gates!
Bless you, my sons. Vaya con Dios.
Gracias, Padre Esteban.
Muchas gracias, mi padre. Come, Pancho. Up,
go, 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 go.
But what can Cisco and Pancho alone hope to do against the mighty force of the Lancers of the Black Horse Brigade? In just a moment, we'll return to the Cisco Kid.
He did my job there, Mike. I don't even have to say anything.
Not at all.
Because that's exactly what we're going to do. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. But first, these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Vic. Mike Costello's pinch hitting for Lisa Wolf.
Sure am.
Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you.
Lisa said she's listening, believe it or not.
Yes.
Wow.
I noticed.
Wow. We rate if she's listening from Florida.
What else does she have to do?
Yeah.
I mean, she's on vacation. She's chilling. It's the second time in the past, 3 months she's been in Florida?
Yeah, she goes to Florida a lot.
Yeah.
I'm guessing she would rather be in the warm than 1 degree.
I don't know why. It doesn't seem like she's ever in the sun down there, but,
no.
You know.
She likes the warm weather, but she doesn't ever get a tan.
Right.
If she's listening, she knows what we're talking
about.
Hey,
it's good to get away sometimes.
It is. I need a vacation.
I do, too.
A year ago today, I was in Hawaii.
Nice.
Man, I wish I was there.
I was supposed to be in New Mexico skiing a few weeks ago. Then the polar vortex came and flights were getting pushed.
And that was that.
I just canceled.
Yeah. Well, we need a vacation, Mike. We work too hard. But I love presenting these radio shows. When I go on vacation, I can't present the radio show. So, you know, life's like that, give and take.
Yep.
Well, we're going to give right now the conclusion to the Cisco Kid.
And now back to the Cisco Kid in our gripping story, The Lancers of the Black Horse Brigade. Nelson Pierce, his second in command, Cesar Martinez, and their renegade brigade of Lancers set out to plunder the Tumacacori mission north of Nogales. General Forsyth sends a section of artillery to the aid of the mission. When Cisco and Pancho arrive there, they learn from Padre Esteban and Elena Montalvo that the cannon was captured by the guerrilla Lancers. To save the mission and the people, Cisco and Pancho ride single-handedly to recapture the cannon. Now.
All right, Pancho. It's dark enough.
Why we got to lead the Hablon Loco? Why we not can ride them?
Because I think we are near the camp of those Lancers. Stop here.
Do you hear something, Cisco?
I thought I did. Take the bridle off Loco as I am doing to Diablo. Listen, Cincho.
Why we do this, Cisco?
If we can get into the camp of the Lancers and get the cannon and caisson, we will have transportation back to the mission.
But suppose we're not able to get that cannon?
If we fail, we will have no need of transportation. We will be dead.
Uh-huh.
And if we succeed, Diablo and Loco will follow us.
See, either way, they'd be free to get away from here.
Come, Pancho. We will leave the horses here.
You're right, Cisco. And the camp of the Zunigays up ahead. Pancho can smell the foods in the campfires.
We must try to locate the cannon and the caisson. Quieto.
Horses is coming. Hey, Diablo Loco following us.
No, Chico.
No?
That sound is coming from the other direction.
Then maybe it...
Shh. Look, look.
Two of those lances and their horses. And they ride this way.
They must be sentries on outpost duty. That coyote Pierce is taking extra precaution tonight. He has posted double guards.
Good work for us, no, Cisco?
Si, amigo. Get up into that tree. I will climb this one. This signal will be the call of the Hurrao. When they pass beneath us, drop on them.
And the hombre with Pancho drop on, be surprised when you find out how fat Pancho is.
It is no laughing matter, Chico.
No?
If you bungle this, those hombres will sound the alarm and arouse the camp.
Pancho not make the mistake, Cisco. This one time you can depend on Pancho.
Hurry. Up the tree. They are coming. Silent, hombre. You need the help, Pancho.
No, Cisco. This coyote knocked out after Pancho land on top of him.
Well, as soon as we change clothes with these two, we'll find the cannon. Tie them up.
Those murder mavericks in the camp happy now. They're playing the music. They're not be so happy when we get the cannon from them.
Pancho, you see by the light of that campfire?
There's Sangrila over there with that hombre playing the concertina.
Do you not recognize her?
Madre mía, Sangrila Lina Montalvo. How did she get here, Cisco?
She must have come here of her own free will.
But why is she going away?
There is only one answer.
What's that?
Señorita Elena came to this camp to draw the attention to herself, so that we can be free to get the cannon.
Yeah, Cisco, that gotta be right. She's dancing for those buzzards now.
Look over at the other edge of the camp. There is the cannon and caisson.
And the horses is to pull them.
Elena, they are holding her prisoner.
You there! Behind those walls!
What do you want, Pierce?
General Pierce, you insolent dog.
As you see, Cisco, your confederate, the dancer, is our prisoner. If you want her alive, surrender.
Turn over the mission and its treasures to me.
If we surrender, they kill us for sure.
I will guarantee you safe conduct.
If they will not arm us, it is best we surrender, Cisco. They will kill Elena if we do not.
We cannot trust the words of traitors, Padre Esteban. They will murder everyone in the mission.
Shoot a cannon at them. They understand that.
And risk hurting Senorita Elena? No, Pancho, I have a better way.
Surrender or we'll put the dancer to death.
Yes? I thought the commandant of the Black Horse Brigade was a man. I see he is a woman who hides from battle behind the skirts of another woman. Meet me and fight. Your weapon, the lance.
The pierced maverick take the lance from one of the soldados and throw it point first into the ground.
He has accepted my challenge.
If I lose, we surrender. If I win, you release the señorita.
I accept your terms, Cisco. I will live to see you buried in front of this mission after it is ashes on the ground.
You are wrong, Pierce. I will live to rub your face in the dust in front of this mission. Diablo,
pocket. You wish Pancho could do this for you, Cisco.
Gracias, mi amigo.
I will return. Porque baja.
From here, you will be able to see your champion slaughtered, Senorita Montalvo.
The Cisco kid will give a good account of himself, Colonel Martinez. See, he handles the lance as well as your commandant.
Watch now. The general charges at him. There, the death strike.
Now you are wrong. Cisco warded off him.
But now, General Pierce charges again. This time, the Cisco kid will die. Watch.
Oh, Madre mia. Thank heavens. Again, you are wrong. Cisco dodged.
Ha-ha! The general twisted the lance from Cisco's hands.
Oh.
Now that your hero is disarmed, nothing will save him. Look, your Cisco kid is a coward. The general will ride him down.
No, Martinez, no. Cisco's going to rope him. What did I tell you? This Cisco kid keeps his word. He is dragging your commandante face down in the dust in front of the mission. No, speak of cowards. Your men are ready to run away.
Stand your ground, you yellow dogs. I, Cesar Martinez, am your new commandante. With this gun, I will kill the Cisco kid. Follow me.
Oh, but you promised.
Out of my hand.
I'll shut the gun out of your hand, Martinez. You're always charging me. I'll put a bullet through you. Now, Elena, I lift you.
Bueno.
Hold tight, Elena. Fasten the other hand. Yeah.
The entire brigade is after Cisco. They are charging at the mission.
Cisco, he can't come with you.
Here we go. Hold him. Hold. The cannon. Make ready to fire.
Are you ready, Cisco?
Place a shot in front of them. It will stop their charge.
Are you ready and waiting? Here it go.
Bueno, Pancho. They turn and run. They are completely demoralized. The fighting days of the Black Horse Brigade are over. Si, Pancho.
What do you think going to happen to all those lances from the Black Horse Brigade?
Now that General Forsythe has reinforcements, every last one of them will be rounded up.
Those coyotes, Pierce and Martinez, and pay for their crimes too, Pancho bets.
Si, they will, amigo.
Pancho liked it at the mission, Cisco. Senorita Elena learned Pancho to play the concertina.
She did?
Oh,
I did not know that,
Chico. Oh, si. Pancho learned to play very good. But every time Pancho played the concertina, it made Pancho cry the big tears.
It did? You mean you were playing sad music?
No, Cisco. Pancho not play the sad music.
Well, then, why did you cry, amigo?
Because every time Pancho played the concertina pinched Pancho's fat stomach.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, Cisco!
And so ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid. Be sure to listen again for another thrilling adventure of the Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was played by Jack Mather, Poncho by Harry Lang.
That's the Cisco Kid, January 17th, 1957, Lancers of the Black Horse Brigade, starring Jack Mather and Harry Lang. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, so when we come back from news, we're going to tune in to Let George Do It, starring Bob Bailey, a good detective adventure. Bob Bailey, Mike, as you know, played yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
I sure do know that.
This was his warm-up show to Johnny Dollar.
All right.
This was a good detective series. Maybe not as good as Johnny Dollar, but pretty darn good. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. And, folks, we did have to change the episode. We switched it out because the episode that we had originally talked about airing was not as good a quality as we like. So we have a 1948 broadcast called Smuggling Face Powder that's coming your way in just a moment.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
No Lisa Wolf tonight. She's in Florida. Mike Costella, our executive producer, is here pinch hitting and doing a bang-up job, as always.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate you. Mike is the genius behind making these shows sound so awesome. And, yes, we do work with the rights holders, the people that created these shows, and we get the master recordings.
Sure do.
And we it's an interesting process, really. I mean, people ask about this. So these shows were put on 16-inch transcription discs, these big vinyl transcription discs, and there were 15 minutes on each side.
And they weren't recorded necessarily for archiving purposes
No,
or anything.
No, they were not. They were really recorded to send them overseas so our men and women fighting in World War II could hear the shows.
So we're fortunate to have what we have.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's what we have. We have 100,000 shows, and that's a fraction, probably, of what actually broadcast back during the golden age of radio, because not all of the shows were put on these discs.
Because I know that we do have some shows that are, we don't have very many episodes.
Well, like, for instance, last night, we played Murder by Experts, and I think we only have six episodes. It was on 2 or 3 years, and we only have six episodes in the whole archive. So There's situations like that, but then there's Suspense. We have almost every episode, right. 980 episodes. Jack Benny, almost all of the episodes. Gunsmoke, all of the episodes. Have Gun Will Travel, all of the episodes. You know, so there's things like that. But we have, because we work with the people who created these shows and the networks, like CBS is one of our licensors, the Abbott and Costello Estate, things like that. So we get the master recordings from them, but then they have to be put in a digital format. So we have a lab in LA. We have two labs that we work with that get us the digital files, and then Mike takes that and removes all of the clicks and pops and just makes it, puts some EQ and other things like that.
Yep, a little bit of magic.
A little magic.
I do what I can.
And so the shows sound as good as they do. So we're in a unique situation because we have all of these shows and we have Mike's ability to make these shows sound amazing. And we pay royalties to sell the shows and to broadcast the shows. So we wanted to form a club for people that are as passionate as maybe not as passionate as we are, because this is all we do. This is like a whole life.
Right.
But if you but if you have a passion for it and you want to collect these shows, I mean, I wouldn't want anyone to morning, noon, and night. That's all they do is. That's all I'm pretty much do, Mike, is I write about the shows, I get them ready to broadcast, pick the shows out for the Classic Radio Club. I Bluetooth them in my car, and before I go to bed, I listen to them.
What do you think I'm doing with them?
I know. So the two of us are a little on the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs side.
Right.
But if you love classic radio, and more importantly, if you want to collect these shows in pristine quality, because what we are putting out through the Classic Radio Club is absolute pristine quality. And I write about them so you get liner notes as well. And so if you are a lover of classic radio and you want them to sound amazing, and I'm sending out 10 shows every month. It's 10 different shows every single month to the members of the Classic Radio Club. And if you want to be a member, you can join. And the first month is only $1. We want people to experience what it's like to be a member of the Classic Radio Club. And we've said, well, you know what? We have to charge something. So we'll charge $1 the first month. So you can get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time sent to you via email, so digital links with the liner notes, and it's only $1 for the first month. Now, it's more the second month. It's $9.99, so it's $1 a show. That's how we've priced it. And you can cancel at any time. But I think once you hear the quality and what you're getting and the liner notes and everything, you will want to be a member. Now, we also offer the same shows on in a CD set. And many people like the CDs because they like to have them in a collector case. And there's all the pictures of the stars on there. And it's a really nice package. That's $14.99 plus shipping and handling. So it's very inexpensive. But again, the first month, only $1. You can get those five CDs with 10 shows. You do have to pay the shipping and handling, which is $4.99. So for only $1, you can join. Now, as I said, if for any reason you don't want to continue to receive the 10 different shows every month, you can just cancel. So try it out for a month. Here's what you do. Just go to the website. It's classicradioclub.com. classicradioclub.com and join for $1.
It's that easy.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. We have hundreds and hundreds of people.
I always like the shows that you put on there. That's kind of a rare episode or something that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
Because obviously I've heard a lot of these by now.
Yeah.
I always hear one where I'm like, huh, I'm not really familiar with this one.
Recently, I try to always put something really unique. I mean, all 10 shows are, I always give you the best of the best. You know, there's almost always a suspense on there, or Escape, Jack Benny, you know, that type of thing. But like recently, we had a 45-minute episode of the Martin and Lewis show. And the reason why it was 45 minutes long is because the sponsor was, I think, Buick or something like that. And NBC gave them an extra 15 minutes that week to be able to promote Buick. So they did some extra comedy and some extra worked in Buick. So that particular episode was 45 minutes long.
Cool.
And I think the guest was Lucille Ball on there. I can't remember now. But we put that on you know, in the collection. So you're always getting something unique. And I, as the curator of the club in the 100,000 shows, I'm always picking them for their quality, for the star appeal, who the stars are, and the most popular shows, and what I think you're really going to like. And then I write about it so you can read and learn about it as well. So you'll get the PDF of the that talks about all the shows.
And they're unedited, and it's really cool to hear all the old commercials.
Yep, they're all in there. Nothing is edited out. So when you join this club, you really are joining a club where you're going to get the greatest classic radio shows of all time, uncut, unedited, with all the original commercials. I'm going to write about them for you so you learn about the shows as well, and you'll get them in these wonderful collector cases of the CDs or digitally emailed to you. Then you can play them on any listening device. You can Bluetooth them to your car. So just go to classicradioclub.com. We'd love for you to join. All right, well, I'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's Let George Do It, starring Bob Bailey. Great detective adventure. Stick around. All right, Mike, we're going to listen to Let George Do It. Now, we haven't played all that many episodes of Let George Do It on the air, so I'll give you a little background on it. It came to radio in 1946. It was a detective series. Lasted all the way to 1954. Now, Bob Bailey, who's best known as yours truly, Johnny Dollar, played George Valentine. He was a tough guy detective. He prioritized his job above all else. He really enjoyed being a detective, and he ran an ad in the newspaper that said, personal notice, dangers my stock and trade. If the job's too tough for you to handle, you've got a job for me. George Valentine, write full details. Now, Box 13 did the same thing. Remember
that one ad?
Yeah. Now, his secretary was the smart and sassy Clara Brooks, also known as Brooksy, played by Virginia Gregg. It was sponsored by Standard Oil, came out of the West Coast, heard on CBS. And we have tons of these shows. It's a good series. I think you'll like it. Now, the episode we were going to play was not up to our standards of broadcast quality, so we switched it out. So we're going to play an episode from April 5th, 1948. It's called Smuggling Face Powder. Here's Bob Bailey in part one of Let George Do It.
Standard of California, on behalf of Standard stations and independent Chevron gas stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. Another adventure of George Valentine.
Personal notice. Danger is my stock and trade. If you need the kind of help you couldn't get from a cautious man, then you've got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Dear Mr. Valentine, you may have forgotten the one time we met, but you were the best man at my wedding. Yes, I'm Joe Burke's wife. You won't believe what's happened to him. Easygoing, happy-go-lucky Joe. He's a pitiful mental case, and they've got him in a sanitarium. You were so close to Joe in the army, I thought maybe if he...
I saw you again, it might do more than the doctors have been able to do. I thought of this when I saw your ad in the paper, like a ray of hope. Won't you try to help me? It signed anxiously, Laura Burke.
Joe, a mental case? Oh, no, not the Sergeant Burke I knew.
Well, George's wife would hardly make up anything like this.
But Brooksy at Palermo, when everybody else was either cussing or praying, that hard-headed Irishman just sat around playing a harmonica. Danny boy.
It's funny I never heard you talk about him.
Well, you know how those things are, Angel. You swear on your GI dog tag that you're going to be sure to keep in touch with each other, but as tempest fugits, auld lang syne becomes just the name of a song.
But you were his best man.
This kid, Laura, came down to camp. We hopped the jeep over to the chaplain, and it took 15 minutes for the tender vows. A minute for me to kiss the bride, and they were off. All Joe had was a 48-hour pass.
Golly, she sounds so desperate in this letter.
Yeah. What's that address, Brooksy? We'd better get right over there.
Maybe it's only one chance in a thousand. I had to turn to you, Mr. Valentine.
The name is George, remember?
He's in that place, getting worse every day. Now he doesn't even recognize me.
Laura, we do want to help you. But, honey, you're making it so much harder. Here, sit down.
I'm sorry.
I know this is tough on you, Laura, but try to tell us the whole thing from the beginning. How did this happen to Joe? When?
Well, about a month ago. They brought him home from Egypt.
Egypt? What was he doing there?
Well, after he got out of the army, he got a job with an export company, Kessling Limited. The money was so good he couldn't refuse it. He planned to keep it for 2 years so he could put some money aside.
Oh, it must have been terrible being separated again.
Did Joe begin to lose his grip while he was abroad?
Oh, he sent letters regularly, wonderful, cheerful letters about the future. And a couple of months ago, he stopped writing.
Yes, Laura?
And one day he walked in with Dr. Taruk.
Wait a minute, who's Dr. Taruk?
Some kind of psychiatrist the company sent back with Joe to take care of him. Mr. Kessling, he's the president of the company. He's been very kind.
What did they say happened?
Some kind of an explosion outside the city. Joe happened to be around, and when he came to in the hospital, he...
Now, take it easy, Laura. Hey, you want to knock off and have a cup of coffee?
No, go on, I'm all right. I'll never forget it. Dr. Taruk left us alone for a minute. Joe just stood there, right where you are, looking at me, looking through me. He tried to talk, but seemed to hurt too much, so he just kept staring and staring.
Oh, George.
Yeah.
He took a box of face powder from his pocket and handed it to me.
Powder?
I guess he meant it as a gift. So pathetic. A box of cheap powder. It was horrible to watch.
Okay, Laura. I think we've heard enough to begin with. Where have they got Joe?
The Hillcrest Sanitarium. His company's paying all the expenses, and Dr. Taruk says in time he hopes Joe will be all right.
Yeah.
But he's getting worse, you see. I thought if you saw him and talked to him, maybe by some miracle he'd begin to remember things. He thought so much of
him. I know. All right, Laura. You want to come along with us?
No, I always seem to upset him.
Okay. Yeah, Claire and I'll drop in on Joe. And here's hoping it'll do some good. A sanitarium should have peace and quiet, but they should build it where people can find it.
Yes, it is out of the way. Gosh, and every time I look down into that valley, I get dizzy.
Kind of unusual, isn't it, Brooksy?
What?
A company going to quite so much trouble for one of their people? Sanitarium special psychiatrist who seems to stay on and on?
Well, darling, maybe the milk of human kindness doesn't curdle as easily as most people think.
Maybe not. Brooksy, I've been in some tough spots. But I think seeing Joe like this is going to be just about the toughest.
In dealing with the mind, Mr. Valentine, one is never sure what will be good or bad for the patient.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, Dr. Turok.
Perhaps this visit from a dear friend out of the past may do Mr. Burke a world of good. However, on the other hand...
Will we be able to see him soon?
In a few moments. But perhaps it would be wiser for a young lady like you, Miss Brooks, not to see him at all.
Huh?
There are just a few things I want to know, Doctor, before...
Dr. Turok.
Oh, Rodney, will you come here? This imposing but very competent gentleman is the male nurse I've hired to be with Mr. Burke when it is impossible for me to be present.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. We can go in this way, Mr. Valentine, Miss Brooks. There he is.
Hey, Joe. Danny boy. Don't you have anything to say for yourself? What did you do? Lose your harmonica?
Oh, George.
Yeah.
Rodney, wipe Mr. Burke's forehead.
Yes, doctor.
You can see, Mr. Valentine, what an effort it costs your friend to try to speak.
I'm not blind, doctor.
Permit me to explain. The blow he must have received in that accident has injured the tiny wires that crisscross in the brain. His thoughts cannot get through, a form of motor aphasia.
Well, that's good to know, but it doesn't help Joe.
Doctor, does he know what we're talking about?
I am quite sure he does not. You see, the wires of the brain that are blocked make it more difficult for him to get his thoughts through. The theory is...
Okay, doctor, but look...
Yes, Mr. Valentine.
I'm quite sure you're a very competent psychiatrist, but I know you won't mind if I have Dr. Hunter, a friend of mine, come in and have a look at Joe. Just a consultation.
Very well, if you feel that way.
And it might help to look a little more into that accident.
Anything to help your friend, Mr. Valentine. Rodney.
Yes, doctor?
The other case downstairs I was so interested in, I think the crisis may come even before I expect it. Would you mind being there to do what is necessary? Then let me know exactly what happens.
I'll take care of everything, good. Dr. Turok.
Try talking to him again, George.
Hey, look, you big oaf. Stop holding on to me. You know who I am. Hey, we got a lot of old times to talk about. You know me, Valentine.
Oh, I suppose it's no use.
Hey, how is it, Dr. Turok, that Joe was able to walk when he came home to his wife, and now he's flat on his back and can't use his hands or his legs? I thought he was being cured.
It is my hope to arrest the progress of the paralysis.
Yeah?
To shield him from emotional disturbances. Rid his mind of fear.
Fear? What fear? Joe was never afraid of anything in his life.
This is a different kind of fear. The fear of becoming a mental basket case with no future and no hope.
Oh, cut it out, Doctor.
Mr. Valentine, I was just stating the facts.
To hold from this day forward till death us do part.
What are you trying to say, darling?
I'm just a best man with a photographic memory.
Oh, I know how you feel about Joe
this
and Laura.
Isn't death, Brooksy. Those two should be together. Something's got to be done about it.
Look, do yourself a favor, George, and listen to me. This is something you don't know anything about. You're no psychiatrist.
No, you listen to me, Angel. I know Joe looks as though his head was full of nuts and bolts, but he recognized me.
What do you mean?
We used to have a way of winking at each other, just to say, keep your skin on, brother. This man's war will be over someday.
Well?
Well, that's what he was giving me back there. I know it.
Are you sure you aren't imagining something you want to believe?
I don't care for that oily doctor, Brooksy, and I care less for that overgrown meatball Rodney hovering over Joe every minute of the day. I just have a feeling he's not getting the right chance.
You can't let it be a question of feelings, darling. Believe me. George!
Ah.
Golly, me too. Oh, a fine place to get a blowout. A few more yards and we would have gone pitching into that valley.
Hey, wait a minute, Brooksy. Don't open that door. Get down.
George, what's the matter with you?
Maybe that wasn't a blowout.
What?
Just playing safe. Well, there doesn't seem to be anyone around now. You stay where you are, Angel. I'll take a look-see.
Did you find anything?
Yeah. A neat bullet hole in our tire.
What?
Somebody shot at us from those rocks up there.
But who could it be? It'd have to be somebody who knew we'd be coming back this way.
Brilliant deduction, Brooksy. But we'll go into that later. Right now, we fix a flat and then get back to town.
Hello? Yes, he's here. Just a moment. It's Walker, financial editor of the Bulletin.
Good,
returning your call.
Good. Yeah, You hold it a second, Walker, huh? Look, Claire, take this down as I give it to you.
Okay.
Go on, shoot. Yeah. Kessling, export and import, fined $50,000 6 weeks ago, smuggling diamonds...
What?
...and a shipment of face powder. Since then, out of business, gave up corporate charter. Yeah, thank you, Walker. That was very helpful. Goodbye.
George, what have we gotten into?
A very touching little situation, Brooksy. The great big corporate heart of Kessling Limited bleeding for one of its employees... was hurt.
Yeah.
In fact, it keeps on bleeding now, long after it ceased to exist, because it was caught smuggling diamonds, no less.
Well, how do you think Joe fits into all this?
I don't know yet. But right now, we're picking up Dr. Hunter and going back to Hillcrest Sanitarium. Let him take a look at Joe. Yeah, Doc?
What'd you find out, Dr. Hunter?
I took a good look at your friend, George, and had a long talk with Dr. Taruk.
Well, Frank?
In Taruk's place, I'd have to diagnose the case exactly as he has.
Oh.
Motor aphasia. Now, progressive paralysis. The whole thing apparently started from some severe shock.
I see. Well, now I don't know what to do. His wife told me if we found anything wrong to get him out of here.
He's getting all the proper care, as far as I can see. Frankly, I wouldn't suggest that he be moved in his present condition.
Okay. Okay, Frank, you know what you know, and I know what I know.
Now,
maybe I'm wrong about Taruk as a doctor, I mean. But there are too many other things wrong about this setup, including that bullet in my tire. Yes, and I still say Joe Burke was winking at me.
We'll return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine in just a moment.
There again. I don't have to say it.
I tried to make your job easy tonight.
Man, you really saved my vocal cords there, Mike. Appreciate that. All right, well, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Vic. It is 12:36. My co-host tonight, or this morning, is Mike Costella. He is pitch hitting for Lisa Wolf, and she said she was listening, but she's not anymore.
You just got a text saying that she's
well,
not listening anymore?
Well, she said she was listening earlier, but I texted her, and she didn't respond, so
she's on vacation, so...
No, she's sleeping.
I mean, I would say that if I were on vacation, maybe I wouldn't reply to you either.
Yeah, that's true. You'd be like, hey, that Carl Amari.
Although, if you hit me up while I'm on vacation, something terribly wrong is going on.
Yeah, Mike,
so.
Oh no, the show. You get enough of those calls from me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Well, you know, that's what happens when morning, noon, night, all you're dealing is with classic radio shows.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Well, that's why I have a MyPillow still in a case in my closet with dust all over it. still in the glass. The hammer's next to it. That's why it's still there.
Is that why?
That's why.
Are you sure about
that?
Too
much classic radio.
Okay. Could be.
And speaking of classic radio, let's tune in to the conclusion now to Let George Do It.
And now back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. Well, you go through the war with a fellow who becomes your buddy. You lose sight of him, and suddenly his wife shows up saying he's in a sanitarium, a mental case. You try to see what it's all about, a bullet comes at you from nowhere. More than that, you're told your buddy is getting the best possible care. You're not convinced, so you decide to dig deeper. In George's case, that means going with Claire to the customs service to have a chat with one of the agents.
Now, there really isn't much to it, Mr. Valentine, just what you see in this folder.
Uh-huh.
What does it say, George?
Nothing we didn't know before, Brooksy. Kessling Limited tried to smuggle in diamonds, caught with their carrots down and so forth.
Well, I don't know what you expected to find, but compared to some of the stunts we run up against, this wasn't anything too brilliant.
Apparently not. The company's out of business now.
Now, we've had people trying to get diamonds through in glass eyes and wads of chewing gum almost every way. Hiding them in boxes of face powder, well, maybe they thought it was so obvious they'd get buying.
Yeah, maybe. Face powder, Brooksy. Why didn't it hit us before?
Of course. Joe gave Laura a box of face powder.
What's that?
Yeah, it's not important, at least not yet. Say, tell me something, Craven.
Yes?
What happens to the rest of the cargo when you catch people smuggling?
We have regular customs sales like an auction. In fact, there's one tomorrow.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It'll be held in one of those loft buildings down on Fayette Street. There's a public notice in the papers today.
Good enough. Come on, Brooksy. Thanks a lot for your trouble.
Oh, don't mention it.
George, I think when Joe gave Laura that box of powder, he was trying to tell her about the smuggling his company was doing.
Could be, Brooksy, could be. But maybe we'll know more about that tomorrow. You and I are going to an auction.
All right, right over here, everybody. Lot 114, 3,000 boxes of face powder, quality second grade, trade name Cleopatra's Secret. Sorted shades. Now, what do I hear, Pat?
The whole lot isn't worth $100, Brooksy, but here I go, and we'll see what happens. $300, Mr. Auctioneer.
How much did you say?
$300.
If you get stuck with all that powder, I don't know how we're going to get it out of here.
Well, I don't suppose there'll be any more bids, so...
$400.
George!
Yeah, no, Angel, but I'm going to hit it again just to make sure.
$500. $600.
What is it? The gentleman who said $500, you got another bid, sir?
Not me. Count me out.
Okay, if the gentleman who bet $600 is just dead
right. No one ever did find out Cleopatra's secret, Brooksy. What do you say we go downstairs and see if we can't make history?
George, it's getting dark. Let's make believe it's dinner, and I'll go down to that lunch wagon and get us a couple of containers of coffee.
Okay, hey, hold it, Brooksy.
Huh?
That little black truck over there. They're loading something into it.
Cleopatra's Secret.
You see any name on the truck? I can't.
Oh, no, there isn't any name.
Oh, I should have known better than to ask. They would have thought of that.
Okay, take it away.
Brooksy, we're off again. We'll keep a good half a block behind them, just like this.
Darling, I never want to see another warehouse as long as I live. They could at least put some lights in the windows.
Yeah, and some fluffy organdy curtains. The only light I'm interested in right now, Angel, is that little red one up ahead.
It's turning the corner.
Hey, a dead-end street, no truck.
But we were right behind them. Truck can't just disappear into thin air.
There's only one warehouse on this whole street.
Yeah, and it's all boarded up.
Hey, that big overhead door could have been up. Just waiting for that truck to get in and then close down.
I can't think of any other explanation except magic.
Yeah, well, we're not going to go ringing any doorbells and dip our mitt.
Look out!
We're getting out of here.
That shot came from that warehouse.
This is getting monotonous, being used for clay pigeons twice in 2 days. Hey, Brooksy.
Yes?
Take a good look at that street sign under the lamp and remember it. Listen to this, Brooksy. All the dope on that warehouse on Barrow Street. It's owned by the Fallon Trading Company.
So?
And the officers and stockholders of Fallon are the same as those of the late Kessling Limited, including the very kindly Mr. Kessling Laura told us about.
George, I can't make head or tails out of this. Why would they go and buy up all that old worthless face powder?
I don't have the answer, Brooksy, but maybe Laura has. That's why we're going over and see her right now.
Laura, what happened to you?
I don't know, really. Claire, something hit me.
Oh, didn't you see who it was?
No, I was sitting here waiting for a call from you, and then I don't remember anything except waking up on the floor.
George, this place is in a sham.
Well, they didn't take anything.
What's that?
No, I looked all around. My pocketbook with almost $100 in it. All my jewelry. All that's still there on the dresser.
Uh-huh.
Oh, what about Joe? Tell me what that doctor friend of yours said. Did he think there was any hope?
Of course there's hope. You've got to believe that.
There's every hope, Laura. But tell me something. Where did you put that box of face powder Joe gave you?
Powder?
Yes, you remember. You told us about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just opened it and then I put it in that drawer over there. Yeah, I'm sure of it.
It isn't here now.
Laura, listen. That firm Joe worked for was a smuggling ring. Diamonds.
What are you saying? Joe'd never be mixed up in anything like that.
I didn't say he was. But as far as we know, there could have been a fortune in gems in that box of powder he gave you in the one moment Dr. Taruk left you two alone.
What does all this have to do with Joe? That's all I care about.
George, you don't think the sanitarium, the auction sale, the warehouse, all that was a part of a search for something that was here all the time?
Oh, Claire, I'm tired of guessing. I feel like a dime being pushed around on a shuffleboard.
What do you mean?
Somebody is in an awful hurry about getting something done, trying to meet a deadline.
What about Joe?
That's what makes me think. Taruk wasn't too worried about me bringing in another doctor to look at Joe. How does visit prove that? The important thing was to keep me from snooping around, interfering with their schedule. That was the reason for the double talk with Rodney and the pot shot at us.
What schedule, George? What are you talking about?
Something's coming off, and coming off soon. Look, stay here with Laura, Angel. I've developed a sudden interest in boats. Incoming and outgoing.
Again, Valentine.
Yeah, Craven, the customs service and I are getting to be just like that.
I'll be right with you as soon as I clear this manifesto. All right, Darty, you can put that shipment through.
Hey, look, fella, this is really important, and time is what we don't have the most of.
Huh? Oh, if you've still got that Kessling deal on
your
mind,
No, same people, but a different name. As far as you know, is there anything coming through for the company known as Farlan Trading?
No, I don't know, but I can soon find out. Here, just a minute.
Well...
No, I don't see anything.
Are you sure? Everything points.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah?
Here it is. I missed it because the boat's already in.
Uh-huh.
It's anchored out there in the harbor.
Has the cargo been cleared yet?
No, that's scheduled for tomorrow.
What's Farland bringing in?
3 crates of powdered cocoa beans from the West Indies. Shipping in on the Pandora, Peruvian registry. Captain Martin...
No, we can skip that, Craven. How soon can we get out to the Pandora?
Why? Tomorrow will be unloaded.
I told you, Kessling and Farland are one and the same trading company.
Hey, I think I see what you mean, Valentine. We'll take a speedboat, get right out there to the Pandora.
Ahoy there! Customs service, Captain, we're coming aboard!
Come on, Valentine.
Yeah, what can I do for you? I thought you weren't ready for us until tomorrow.
Something special turned up, Skipper.
Yeah, specifically powdered cocoa beans for Farland Company.
Mm. Well, Lord, this trip. Those are some of their crates right here on deck.
Okay, let's try this one for a starter.
Say, what are you fellas looking for anyway?
Carrots, Captain.
Huh? Are you kidding?
Diamonds, Captain.
Oh.
Now, you feel around that side, Valentine. I'll take this.
Okay.
Ireland, eh? I thought I knew tomorrow. That's new one on me.
All right, Craven, here we are.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a beauty, too. Take a look at it.
Hey!
Oh, nice size. I wonder how many more we're going to find.
Oh, just enough, but not too many.
What's that supposed to mean?
Look, Craven, can I take a sample of this cocoa? Just enough for a cup, let's say?
Sure, go ahead. Help yourself. I doubt if they'll miss it when we auction the stuff off. Thanks again for the tip, Valentine.
Oh, you're very welcome. Don't be surprised if I get in touch with you again. Well, Mr. Ross, what's the verdict? What does the chemical analysis show?
Powdered cocoa, huh?
Oh, never mind the suspense. What did you find?
Oh, there is cocoa here, all right, but mixed with something that sells for roughly $7,000 a pound. Dope.
$7,000 a pound. No wonder Kessling and the boys could afford to use diamonds for window dressing.
What's that?
Oh, it'd take too long to explain. Thanks. And remind me to submit your name for the Nobel Prize.
What do you want, Valentine?
line.
Out of my way, Rodney.
You can't go in there. Nobody sees Burke. Dr. Taruk's orders.
You're a sucker for Taruk's orders, aren't you? You shouldn't have missed me when you took a shot at my car on the road yesterday.
Huh?
I was just waiting for that big yap to open like that so I could...
Rodney,
what is all this?
Greetings, Dr. Taruk.
What have you done, Mr. Valentine?
The scene should speak for itself. And if you don't want to join Rodney, you'll just sit right down on that bench.
Maybe you should be a patient here, Mr. Valentine.
Oh, yeah, sure. I got a persecution complex. I can't rest. I can't sleep. I see things. Have bad dreams. I'm afraid there's no hope for me until I hear you and your friends try to explain more than $1 million worth of dope.
I have nothing to say.
When the police and the customs men get here, Dr. Taruk, you'll have plenty to say.
Oh, can you beat that, Valentine? Using diamonds for a smokescreen.
Yep, Craven, that was the racket. They plant the diamonds, not too expensive ones, of course, in case the shipment is open.
If they're found, nobody looks any further.
And they pay the fine. And they buy up the supposedly worthless stuff at the auction for peanuts and make themselves $1 million.
Tell me, how did that friend of yours in the sanitarium fit into all this, Valentine?
Well, as I get it, Joe found out what Kessling was doing and was going to talk. All that stuff about an accident in Egypt was a bunk. Now, they gave him a brutal going over. When he came out of it, he had what a psychiatrist so pompously called functional neuroses induced by severe blows on the head.
Gosh, they probably meant to kill him.
Sure, but why take chances? There might be investigations. Now, they figured it was better this way. Taruk could see to it that Joe didn't snap out of it until this shipment came through, then they'd all take it on the lam. That was their deadline. How do you like your new barracks, soldier? Oh, don't try too hard to talk, Joe. We always used to understand each other without too many words.
I don't know how we'll ever be able to thank you and Claire. Dr. Hunter says Joe's going to be all right.
George, what about that wedding present? You know, the one the best man forgot to give?
Oh, yeah, that's right, Joe. You and Laura ran out on me so fast that day in camp, I didn't get a chance to give you the usual set of doilies or a percolator or something. Well, now you can at least be the messenger of some good news that may make up for that.
The customs man told us. It says right in the book, anyone instrumental in thwarting a smuggling attempt is entitled to 25% of what the Treasury gets on dutiable goods.
Yeah.
And those diamonds don't come cheap, you know.
That's right, Joe. You're really the guy who was instrumental. At ease, soldier. Hey, you know, Brooksy, this time I'm sure he winked.
Next week, when you tune our way for another adventure of George Valentine, you'll hear...
Well, here we are. Now, out you go, Brooksy. You know what you're supposed to do.
Yes, George. But you don't know what you're asking of me. That Rene woman brings out the fishwife in me. Anything can happen.
Well, go on now, Angel. That gal in there didn't tell us half what she really knows. Maybe because you do rub her the wrong way, we can find out some more.
Well, okay. So good to me. Now for Renee. I wish I'd let my fingernails grow.
Tonight's adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West. Let George Do It stars Robert Bailey as George with Francis Robinson as Claire. Tonight's story was written by David Victor and Herbert Little Jr. and directed by Don Clark. Also heard in the cast were Betty Lou Gerson, Paul Frees, Jack Crucian, Dick Ryan, Herb Vigran, and Joe Duvall. The music is composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Let George Do It with Robert Bailey. Mike caught that. He went by Robert on this show, huh, Mike?
Apparently.
Johnny Dollar, he would go by Bob Bailey. Yeah, this was called the Smuggling Face Powder Case from April 5th, 1948, Virginia Gregg. as Brooksy on that show. Hope you enjoyed it. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. So, yeah, well, as soon as Dane is here, Shante, send him in. We'll chat with him. But that's going to be a wrap, Mike.
Yeah.
We played some fun classic radio shows. Cisco Kid, Let George Do It. Next week, what do we have here?
I don't know.
You don't have your sheet of paper?
No.
You don't have your notes?
Nope.
Oh, I have mine.
Good.
I'm prepared. Okay, so next week, are you ready for this? Quite the lineup. You ready?
Go for it.
Next Saturday, The Shadow to start things off. Then Fibber McGee and Molly and The Green Hornet. So that's Saturday from 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning. Then on Sunday, Have Gun, Will Travel and the Mole Mystery Theater.
Ooh, it's been a while for that one, right?
Yeah. You know, that's another show. Mole Mystery Theater was on the air maybe 4 or 5 years. There's like maybe 12 shows exist.
Oh,
that's about
okay.
it. So we don't air that many of them.
I thought that that was one of those shows that had like a different name at some point, you know, like the Screen Directors Playhouse had like three different names, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Mole was the sponsor. Mole was a shave cream. You know, it was a shaving cream product, and they were the sponsor of, they'd be like M-O-L-L-E, Mole.
Got it.
Remember they had those singing commercials?
Yeah.
A lot of those these classic radio shows had the singing commercials.
Yeah.
You know?
Fun
like
little jingles.
J-E-L-L-O.
I'm not singing that with you.
No.
So.
Well, you probably sing a lot better than I do.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, so a good lineup.
If that were true, I would have been a musician, not an engineer.
Can you play any musical instrument?
Of course.
Like what?
I play the guitar.
Really?
I played organ for several years.
Really?
I played saxophone for several years.
Oh, see, I'm learning. I mean, I've known you for 20 years, and I didn't know this.
Actually, I played saxophone for several years, didn't play it for several years, and in 2011... I played it on stage with my band.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
So you're in a band and you're still in a band?
Well, I was at some point. My drummer's trying to get it all back together. So we had band practice for like the first time, like
and then one
not
time at band
weekend.
Camp.
Yes.
And so what what kind of music do you play?
So it's interesting because we are all from different genres of music. So I don't know if you know this, but I listen to a lot of metal.
I did not. Who are you? Wait a minute. Let me see your driver's license.
And then I calmed down a little bit. So my
you
main
like heavy
genre.
Metal?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was kind of crazy when I was younger. I listened to a lot more
and
classic rock.
And your hearing is
now.
Still okay today?
My hearing is still okay.
Yeah.
I can still hear. My drummer is, he listens to hip-hop, metal, and rock, and our singer is mainly rap and hip-hop. We used to have, like, a jazz keyboard player and kind of a funk rock bassist. So it's really, hip-hop is the genre, but we kind of mix all of this together. I have no idea how it works, but it works.
I'm learning something about you I never knew.
Real Life Entertainment is the name of the band.
Real Life Entertainment.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And can you play the piano?
I mean, I can read notes and such. It's kind of been a while since I've actually been able to play.
You know
keys.
Who can play the piano really, really well?
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa. She's like unbelievable on the piano.
I know.
Gosh. One time I was over at her house and she has a piano there and I'm like, can you play this thing? She's like, yeah.
When we all had dinner over there.
Right?
Yeah, she busted
just like,
that out. And
man,
I was like, wow, I didn't know you could play this.
You know what musical abilities I have?
None?
Zero. No, less than none. Minus zero.
Well, if you want to get your singing career started, you can maybe start with karaoke. Mm. Maybe hit some bars up, try some
Not
karaoke,
me.
Get your voice in that.
Not me. You know who is an amazing, amazing singer? And I know I'm biased because she's my daughter, but my daughter, Amanda.